Welcome back to More Than That. Today, we're opening up our imaginations to explore what Afrofuturism really means. We want to thank Kroger for sponsoring this episode. Head to Kroger.com/zero hunger, zero waste to discover how they're ending hunger and waste in our local communities. I am so honored to welcome to More Than That one of the most prolific new voices in film who blew Sundance away, honey. I'm here with A.V. Rockwell. A.V. directed a new film called 1001, and it stars Teyana Taylor as a mother, literally a mother in Harlem, and going through so many things from a personal perspective. Why this film, this story, and why now?
This is a very personal story for me, not only as a New Yorker, but also as a woman and a Black woman. I love New York City so much as a New Yorker, but when I started writing this movie, I was questioning, does the city love me?
Yes.
You know, Harlem is the Black Mecca for Black history and Black culture. So to lose it due to gentrification is really just like something that our community has to really reflect on, just in terms of like the erasure of everything that relates to Black identity. And you see families like Inez's climb out of that just for this to be something that it could potentially interrupt the life of her child, you know, who should have a better future than she does.
Wow. I love how passionate you are and clear you are about this story. But as a Black person in film right now, why is it so important to have Black people tell Black stories?
I think we need to be able to take control of our own narrative. And I think it's also really important to see that the human experience, the human condition is not just male. It is not just white.
You know, a lot of us are imagining futures that are very different from what we're experiencing now. So when you think about what you hope Black people look like in the future and how we even tell our stories, like what comes to mind?
I guess in my head, I was like, well, what do you define as you know, Afrofuturism in that way, or what Black futures look like? What I think about is, what is our future look like without like racism being so tied to it? If you're not fighting against that, then what else is out there to experience and pursue in life?
Our current realities are so difficult, but they force us to reimagine a world where Black people are seen and honored in our humanity and celebrated for all of our gifts. Afrofuturism often reflects the ideas of limitless culture, innovation, joy, and technology. In fact, when I watched Black Panther, I knew the idea and reality of Afrofuturism wasn't that far away. And now we're having more conversations with those who envision what the future looks like in their artistry. Listen as Grammy-nominated artist Mumu Fresh and Oscar-winning production designer from Black Panther, Hannah Beekler, set the stage for a new futuristic wave of storytelling. Woo! My little Black girl heart and Marvel fan self, I'm just over here sitting like, y'all, this is the best thing ever. This is so cool. That's why I was like, yes, please, can we have Hannah on here? I love her. I'm obsessed with her.
Oh, thank you.
But for anyone who doesn't know who you are, how would you introduce yourself and just all of who Hannah is?
Well, my name is Hannah Beekler. I'm a production designer in the film industry, mainly, kind of like an architect, if you will. I do the sets and the world. I've worked on many projects that people know. I'm the Black Panthers. I won an Academy Award for the first one and a few other accolades, I guess, but I can't remember everything either, so.
Just everything that's great and excellent. You built the world or the set for it. And so I am so grateful again to have you here, because as we talk about Afrofuturism, you literally have already imagined those worlds and brought them to life. I can only imagine, if we're living in your imagination right now, how wide and vast that was as a child.
Yeah, I was always, you know, making up worlds and running crazy all day and building forts. So it was a pretty wild upbringing, I guess, altogether. You know, we were out riding horses at 5. But then, you know, my dad had a very, like, disciplined craft of architecture, which is sort of like, if you look at Wakanda is just exactly that. It's very organic, yet it has an art form and an aesthetic and a vernacular, just the way I grew up.
Wow.
When you got the task of building out the world of Wakanda, where did you start?
You know, my father had said, what always said as an architect, he said, you can't really build or design something until you understand the land and the place that it's going to be. So that was like my foundation, was those words from my dad. And then Ryan would tell me a story about the people and about the different tribes and giving me a sense of the history and the richness and the culture. So then I would take that and be like, okay, I could look at trade routes and understand sort of who was going where and why people were moving. Then I could build the land of Wakanda as to where people migrated from and to. And a lot of those tribes want a home and a land and a place, so that we gave them that in Wakanda.
I love that. It's just giving me chills because I immediately think of the scene when Chadwick has to fight for the first time and you see all of the tribes bouncing up and down and you see the colors, you see the richness, you see all the things. And you're like, wow, one, as a Black person, seeing that, what it did to my soul the first time I saw it, it was things that I didn't even understand. We needed Black Panther and we needed Wakanda Forever. We need, as Black people, to know that how intentional you are in bringing the past to the future. It just fills my heart. But just taking it back, like, why is location so important to storytelling?
Yeah, it is such an important thing. Telling the story of the location, understanding the importance of the location, I think specifically in the Black diasporas, because our location has always either been stolen, taken, trafficked, destroyed.
Wow.
And our future and our present is always usually predicated on our zip code. That's the true, true. That's the real, real. They'll bomb a neighborhood in Philly to take you out of that zip code. You understand? So place is important to establish that and the rest and relaxation of the Black body is predicated on being able to be in one place without the threat of moving. We have the Great Migration. We had to move, right? Yeah. You create a place that's safe and is destroyed and you must move or die.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes it's like, well, if you don't like it, just go here or there. We were here before you were here. We were stolen and trafficked and brought in 1619. If anybody's colonial or American, it's Black people in this country. So yeah, that's I kind of went off.
No,
but
I love it.
But yeah, that's why it's so important to story, you know.
Yes.
It really is. And it also is a profound texture on the canvas of that story. That's what place means to film.
Wow. This is why you got the Academy Award. This is why you're the best of the best, because you understand the importance of the depth of the location.
Yeah.
You get it. And I love you for that so much, because it just brings such a layer.
Yeah.
It moves you. And within your work, the ones that I love the most center us. And it seems like the teams around these stories are mostly Black or Black led. What does reclaiming our stories in film and TV, as someone who has literally done that, do for the culture?
I mean, I think having the Black community tell their stories, it adds a three-dimensional layer to what Black people are.
Hmm.
You know, we live in a world where Black people know every single thing. They know more about white people than white people know about themselves.
Ciao.
But they don't know anything about us. When Black people tell Black stories, you're seeing a complexity in our lives. You're seeing a humanity that has been left out of cinema over decades and decades and decades and decades, right? So us taking and claiming who we're telling you who we are. You're not telling us no more. It's now we're telling you. Now it's our narrative. Now it's our truth. And this is our healing. And so that's what it means to have Black people tell their stories. And we've also proved, you know, if we're going to talk about the business side of all of
Come on.
Black stories sell. That's why it's important.
Ooh, I just got chills. That's so good. That's so good. Oh my goodness. Okay, so in your own words, how do you define Afrofuturism?
Well, I will say this, and I've been asked this question a lot, and it is basically taking a history. And there's so many holes for the African-American in those stories, right? And filling those in with a fictional narrative in the cracks of these historical moments. Mm. It could have been that we weren't being trafficked across the transatlantic, but maybe we went off to a great war in the universe and we're heroes of our own destiny. Mm. You know, how do we want to, you know, engage in a scientific, futuristic conversation? Because I can turn on any TV show that is showing me the future, and what I will see was a talking elephant, but I will not see Black people.
Wow.
We are in the future because not only are we the future, we're the present and the past, and that's all one circle. We are all things at once. So it's, you know, you can't have this future without us. Because you didn't have a future without us in your past. Do you understand?
Yes.
With every acknowledgement and recognition of your existence, you are healed. So that's how I see Afrofuturism. And that's what I intend to create.
When our ancestors were forced onto slave ships and the future was uncertain, safety and security were a dire concern. Now, Afrofuturism invites us to imagine a future where our Blackness is protected and our excellence is the blueprint. In this future, equality brings an end to systemic racism and injustice. Our culture reshapes society for the better. Our joy, health, and prosperity are guaranteed. And today's transform into a thriving utopia. In this future, access to fresh food isn't an uphill climb. And Kroger wants to help make that future a reality. Head to Kroger.com/zero hunger, zero waste to learn more about how they're ending hunger and waste in our local communities. Mumu, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.
And I am such a fan. I've seen you perform so many times at home and abroad and all the spaces. And you are the definition of futurism to me. And so I'm so excited to be able to talk to you today about that topic. But first, let's go back to the beginning of literally, like, when you introduce yourself to people, because you do so much, how do you introduce yourself these days? Like, tell us the thing. What's your name? What do you do? And also, where did your name come from? Mumu Fresh, where did that come from?
Yeah, so I introduce myself as Maimuna Youssef, also known as Mumu Fresh, singer, songwriter, MC, workshop facilitator, mom, you know. Wife. I have many, many, many titles as I go through this earth walk, figuring things out and showing up for the lessons. Well, my mother named me Maimuna, which means under the protection of the divine. And then her nickname for me will be Mumu. And on tour with The Roots, and they started calling me Mumu Fresh.
I love that. When I've seen you perform, it reminds me of the Dr. Maya Angelou quote that says, like, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. Like, you clearly have a lot of people coming through you, a lot of influences coming through you. Do you, like, draw from your elders, your mother and your grandmother? And if so, like, how do you intentionally carry them in how you show up in the world?
I mean, specifically on stage, I always make sure that I call on my ancestors before I go on stage. You know, I feel like to really, truly have a transformational experience on stage, you have to call on something greater than you, something wiser than you. So, yeah, I know that I walk with them. And when I get lost, I know to slow down, stop, go to the river, you know, reach out to my ancestors and and just think about all of I often think about the things that they went through that made them as strong as they were. A lot of times it's trauma, you know, and now being a mom myself, it's like, how do we teach our children to be strong without inflicting trauma on them?
Yes.
What other things do we gain strength from besides trauma? Mm. I raised my son in a gentle parenting style, right? So I'm in this place where I'm learning what does the future look like reared free of trauma? What expectations should I have, or should I have any expectations?
In your own words, how would you define Afrofuturism?
I would define Afrofuturism as the ability to be your authentic, free self, free from some of the limitations that we have been trained to think are there and that we have to acknowledge, whether that be race, right? We think about, we know that there are certain barriers there, but what if we could live, what if they didn't exist, right? What if we could suspend our disbelief and imagine an existence where that wasn't a factor?
Wow.
Where anything was truly possible for you. When I think of Afrofuturism, I think of almost like Sankofa. I think of going back, right, to some of the African traditions of being able to be tender.
Mm.
My therapist is an African woman. And, you know, I love her perspective about how slavery made it really hard for us to love our children because you had to prepare them for a world that didn't love them. So how do you love your children while preparing them for a world that won't love them? And how we're holding on to some of that when those things are not there anymore. Is it possible that we can relearn some of those ways, how we behaved pre-colonization?
I love that. And I think that's the basis of it, right? Like the more that we move forward, the more that we're going to be uncomfortable, uncomfortable, you know, it's going to be new. It's going to be the future.
Yeah. When more parents are healing themselves and healing their children and healing their relationships and giving birth to healed children, when more parents are doing that, we're going to have a different future, you know?
Let's talk about a more perfect world. What would that look like? What steps can we take right now to create the world we want to see that will vibrate higher, that will be the things that we hope it can be?
Yeah, I think if everyone were to do the work to work on themselves, we would get there. We would be right on schedule, you know? If each person were to work on themselves every day, figure out where my biases are, and allow yourself to be uncomfortable so that we can stew in it for a minute and figure out, wait, why am I uncomfortable? What is that triggering? Why is that triggering? How can I massage that? How can I heal that? Where's the lie? What are we lying to ourselves about?
Yeah, that's the self-limiting beliefs triggering, because like that's one of the things that I'm working on myself, just being honest with what I've allowed myself to believe. And little by little, they creep up and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Who said that? Mm-hmm. And was that even true? And right. I agree. I think the more that we do that work individually, it'll help us as a collective and create ultimately a better future.
We're going into a world that we've never seen before. We don't have a blueprint for this. There'll be new experiences that you don't have a reference point for. Wow. So the best thing that I can do is be open to it and allow the youth to lead me, because this world will be inherited by them.
Thank you to Mumu Fresh for sharing your vision of how Black alignment can bring us into the future. And to Hannah Beekler for literally building the dynamic world of Wakanda that allows us to escape into the world of Afrofuturism. Our imaginations reflect the fullness of our multifaceted and vast culture. And though our resilience is often praised, it's really the layers of our humanity, ingenuity, and softness that should be celebrated more. And we want you to join in on the conversation. What does Afrofuturism mean to you? Tell us on social at More Than That Show. As we take steps to heal, we are inspired to end our season on a topic we all care about, mental health. Next week, we'll be creating space for Black men to open up about what they need to feel balanced, vulnerable, and whole. Join us next week on our final episode of the season, and remember to check out the show notes for all the resources mentioned in the show. Thank you to all of our guests, and thank you to Kroger for sponsoring this episode. Head to Kroger.com/zero hunger, zero waste to discover how they're making fresh food more accessible for our local communities.